Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
All you have the word of God in your heart, we invite you to turn there. Genesis chapter number 50. If you are an able body, we invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. Genesis chapter number 50. Here's what it says. I'm reading from the New International Version. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us? What if he has some beef with us and pays us back for all the wrong that we did him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so bad. Now, please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to Joseph, he wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We messed up, man. We messed up. We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. You intended to hurt me. You tried to break me down, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Real quick, I want to scroll back up to verse number 19. Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. You meant to hurt me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." You may be seated in the presence of God. And as you are seated, I want you to help me introduce the sermon, but I want you to kind of go back to the 90s, and I want you to say it in the phrase of a poetic lyricist by the name of Tupac. The sermon title today is this. Look at your neighbor and say, "Our sermon this morning is, I ain't mad at you." Okay, look at another neighbor, because you may have been mad at your husband or your child. So look at another neighbor and say, "The sermon today is, I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at you." Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray the Lord that I decrease and that you increase mightily, that these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I'll wait for thee. But my Lord, thy will to see. Open my eyes and lift me, Spirit Divine. In Jesus' name, amen. I ain't mad at you. One author said this phrase: "Who you hang out with determines what you dream about and what you collide with. And the collisions and the dreams lead to your changes. And the changes are what you become. Change the outcome by changing your circle." I'll say it again for someone who's taking the notes. Who you hang out with determines what you dream about, and what you collide with. And the collisions and the dreams lead to your changes, and the changes are what you become. Change the outcome by changing your circles. There is a difference with the company that we keep. And in this series, we want to deal with the people factor. In life, brothers and sisters, there are no neutral relationships. Each one lifts you up or weighs you down. It moves you forward or holds you back.
Yes, sir.
It helps you or it hurts you. There are no such things as neutral relationships. Whenever you invest time with people, if it's the folk you hang out with at work or who you're in a relationship for marriage or your boyfriend or your bae, whatever you want to call it, there is no such thing as a neutral relationship. They're either going to help you or they're going to hurt you. For most of us, being hurt is never a good feeling. Most of us, we don't want to really be hurt. Most of us, we don't like being hurt. I can remember watching my sisters, my younger sisters here right now, but I remember when they were kids, I was the oldest one, and I was a boy, I had two younger sisters, and I would watch them go through this ordeal with my mother. My mother, she would get one of them big old purple combs, you know, with the handle on it kind of thing, and she would sit them down, and she would comb their hair. Now, this is before they started using Just For Me. This is before, you know, having the natural hairdo was all up. Nah, this is when you had to really get some kinks out. And so she would sit them down on the floor and begin to comb their hair. One of the most hilarious things for me to watch was them squirm in uncomfort because it hurt them. They squirmed as much as they could. They began to yell, but my mother, she was strong, and she held them down because she was going to comb all the naps out of their hair. They stopped fighting and just sat still and started crying because it hurt them. It's uncomfortable. Didn't feel good. But then, the next day, they get to go to school. And, you know, she put that blue grease in their hair, and they look all pretty and everything. And so when they get to school, the teachers say, "Oh, you look so pretty." And now that made them feel good. If it was a Sunday morning and had the little bull rats with the little ponytail and all this kind of stuff, they get there and everybody, "Oh, you look so cute." And they would just strut. Now, people don't know the night before they were squirming, they were crying, they were uncomfortable. Oh, but when they come out, "I just look like this and it feels really good." The end. Sometimes being hurt is good for you, but not good to you. There are some things that hurt us, and we know that it will hurt, but we're willing to subject ourselves to it because we know that the outcome is worth it. Some of us go to the gym. Go to the gym knowing that we have not been to the gym since. It's been that long since. So wait, y'all, they don't sell like Arnold Schwarzenegger stuff anymore, and that's not, what about Mr. T? I want to look like, nah, but it's been a long time since they were really cool. But so we get in there and we know it's going to hurt. Matter of fact, we know it's going to hurt because we get mad at other folk who in shape because they don't need to be in the gym. Won't you go home making me look bad? But you go in and in your mind, you can do it. You can run longer. You can run faster. You can lift more. And you mess around and try it. And the next morning, oh, Jesus. Pastor, I'm not coming to church. Not that I don't want to, but I really can't even move now because it hurts. But if we keep it up, we know that we're going through it because the outcome is better. It was one songwriter who says, "No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain." Sometimes we will accept hurt. We will accept pain when we know that the outcome is worth it. But there are times when we are hurt in ways that seem to be purposeless. You go to work, trying to do your job, and for some reason, somebody wants to take out their life frustrations on you. You ain't do anything wrong to them, but for whatever reason, they want to take out their life frustration on. They show up at your desk. You know, don't nobody like you. They always talk about you at lunch. They can't relate. You just trying to mind your business, but they hurt you. That's a work hurt. That was a casual relationship, and it hurts for a little bit. But then you say, I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna mind my business. I'll be just fine. It's a little bit of hurt, but you can get over that. It's purposeless, but I can get over that. But there are times when you get hurt and it stays with you. It sits with you. Hurt when you least expect it. Hurt when you just don't need it. A hurt that seems to stay for years. It's the hurt that comes from confiding in who you thought was your friend. You know, your girl, this is your boy, y'all hang out. And you told them everything, and you trusted them, and you believed in them. If they called at 3 a.m, you would drop everything for them, only to find out that the same people you confided in, the same people that you trusted, were the same ones who use everything against you to hurt you. And you sit and you look and you can't help but say, why did this happen? That's a hurt that stays for a while. The hurt that comes when you come home after a hard day's work and you really just need a shoulder to cry on. It's been difficult, and you sat in traffic and you really just kind of want to relax, and you want to hug and for somebody to tell you that they love you, only to walk inside to see your bae, your boo thing, with somebody else saying, I never really loved you. And this is a hurt that kind of stays with you. This is the kind of hurt that Joseph felt in the text. Hear his story, and as we listen, we learn a couple of things from Joseph. First of all, I saw they just put it on the screen. First thing we learn from Joseph is this. It's in life, we will be hurt by others. In life, we will be hurt by others. In life, we will be hurt by others. If you're taking notes, write that down. In life, we will be hurt by others. In life, if we're going to live this life, we're going to be hurt by others. Looking at Joseph's story, it begins in Genesis chapter number 37. Joseph's father, Jacob, had 12 sons by 4 different women. I ain't got time to really deal with that, but he had 12 sons by 4 different women. Now Joseph, along with his younger brother Benjamin, were the only children of Rachel. Rachel, Jacob's favorite wife. He had 12, but Rachel, they mama was whatever his favorite. And so, and Jacob loved his son Joseph. He favored him. Now, as a result of this love, the other brothers born to the other women hated him. Things got worse when his father gave him a coat. But the father gave him a coat of many colors, which said that this is my son and I love him. One day he sent Joseph out to spy on his brothers, and Joseph began to tell them about his dreams. Let me pause here real quick to simply share. You can't tell everybody about your dreams. For some of us, it's hard because this is my... You can't tell everybody. I don't care how cool y'all are, how often y'all hang out. You can't tell everybody about your dreams, because some people will see what God is doing in your life and they will want what you have. Let me say that again. They will want what you have, not one like yours. They gonna want yours. And so you can't tell everybody about your dreams. Joseph's brothers hated him so much to the point that they could not even say nice things to him. Well, one day his brothers were out watching his father's flock in Shechem. And there were in a place that was dangerous for them. So Jacob sends Joseph to go check on his brothers. And as it turns out, they had moved from Shechem to a place called Dothan. about 20 miles further. So now Joseph is a long way from home. Joseph goes to find them, and when they see him coming, their anger towards him rose up. Some of them said, "I can't stand it. Gets on my nerves. Let's kill him. All the dreams he's having, he's going to be over us. We'll see what happened with that. Let's kill him." One of the brothers said, "Listen, let's not be that crazy. Let's throw him in this pit. Throw him down in a well." His own brothers grabbed him and threw him in a well. And they sat down to eat. Remember this. By chance, the well was dry. By chance, the well was dry. While they were eating, some Ishmaelites came by and they yanked him out of the dry well and sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Then they took Joseph's coat of colors, they tore it up, and they put blood on it to make it look like he was killed by a wild animal. They went to their father and said, "Daddy, you know the one you love, the one you gave this coat to? Well, I'm sorry, your son is dead. So much so we can't even find his body. He is dead." His own brothers, the one that grew up with him, the one they took baths together, they ate lunch together, they shared the same stuff, they had hand-me-downs, his own brothers sold him for 20 pieces of silver. These Ishmaelites took him to Egypt and sold him to someone else. Joseph, the one hated by his own brothers, is now a victim of the slave trade. They put him up for sale. How could you go through this and not have some sense of hurt? But by chance, he was purchased by Potiphar, a powerful and prosperous man, and a servant of Pharaoh. And by chance, Joseph was promoted even as a slave, and it got to the point that Potiphar trusted him with everything. Well, Mrs. Potiphar, she saw Joseph, and he looked tall and handsome, like Pastor Ball, and so She saw him, and she wanted to hustle Joseph. I know I'm married to Potiphar, but she had a thing for Joseph, and she went after him. But Joseph said, "Nah, I'm an upright man." And he told her, "No, brothers who were married, Joseph was an upright man," and he told her, "No." So your wife can always tell you, he heard the story about you, but don't get caught up in that. And so Joseph says, "No, Miss Potiphar is offended. How you gonna tell me no? I run this." And so she lied on him and had him thrown in jail. Not because he's done anything wrong. He's thrown in jail. He's been hurt by his own brothers. He's been hurt by the family he worked every day to take care of. And by chance, the prison guard put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. And by chance, Pharaoh's butler and baker were in the cell with Joseph. And while they were all in prison, Joseph was so kind to both of them that he interpreted their dreams. Butler got out of jail, and when he got out of jail, he said, "Dog, look, I ain't gonna forget you. You've been too good to me. Once I get out, I got you. I'm gonna tell him how good you are." Joseph, the one that comforted them in prison, Joseph, the one that had given them a kind word, was now hurt because they got out and they totally forgot. They ain't come put nothing on his little rations ticket, nothing. They just forgot about him. But by chance, Pharaoh had a dream that none of his diviners could interpret for him. And the butler then remembered, "There was a brother that was in jail with me, Joseph. He can interpret your dreams." Joseph had been hurt by so many people. His brother sold him for 20 pieces of silver. The family that he worked for night and day put him in prison. The people that he had helped in prison got out, went on their way, and forgot about him. Here he is trying to be good, but he gets hurt. Here he is trying to do what's right, but he gets hurt. Here he is trying to be a friend, but he gets hurt. Have you ever been there when it seemed as though life
throws you a series of hurt. People you try to help hurt you. People who were supposed to be your friend, they are the ones that turn their back on you and they hurt you. The person that you were a blessing to turns and tells lies on you. Hurt, 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 time and time again. Hurt. You can't help but say, God, why? Because this just makes no sense. That's where we see Joseph's story. He was hurt by others. And while he was hurt time and time again by others, we learned something else in the text. Yes, in life, we will be hurt by others. Here's our second point is this, brothers and sisters. While we may be hurt by others, we are protected by God. We are protected by God. Okay, I'm a step out and I'm going to tell this little illustration because I know 97% of y'all are going to know what I'm talking about. 97% because we got Xavier, who is baby, another baby back here asleep. So the rest of y'all going to catch. Here it is. There's a television show that all of us know about on Thursday nights. We have no Bible studies or nothing like that because on Thursday nights, everybody is busy. It's called Scandal. And the show Scandal has Pope and Associates. Pope and Associates, Olivia Pope, and they are gladiators in suits. Y'all know Scandals? Y'all got that? Okay, cool. There's a brother on Scandal by the name of Huck. Huck is one you don't want to mess with. Huck is a person that can kill you and you won't even know you're dead until like 20 minutes later it feels. Huck is that kind of brother. And now they have clients. And a client will come to them, to Pope and Associates, and the client would be in a tight situation. And by chance, Pope and Associates would do something to cover them, and the clients would never know exactly what was done. All they know was that Pope and Associates handled it. There are some things that Pope and Associates would do behind the scenes, and the client would never know that Pope and Associates handled it. Okay, walk with me through Joseph's story once again. God and Associates, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has a client, and his name was Joseph. His brothers plotted to kill him, but God handled that. He calls his older brother to say, no, let's not do that. His brothers threw him in a well, but God handled that. He sent and grabbed the hydrogen and the oxygen from the well so that Joseph would not drown. He was put up for sale, but God handled that. He made sure that the person to purchase him was someone that could put him in a nice place, someone that could elevate him and not be brutal to him. He was lied on, but God handled that. He made sure that the jailer saw Joseph's gifts and elevated him. He was forgotten by his so-called friends, but God and Associates handled that, and he gave Potiphar a dream that only Joseph could interpret. A Pharaoh dream that only Joseph could interpret. Yes, he was hurt by others, but he was a client of God and Associates. And each time others hurt him, God and Associates were there to handle it. Can I tell you another client of God and Associates? I'm almost out of your way. Consider your own life. Yes, you've been hurt by others, but God and Associates were there when you tried to drink yourself to death. He handled that. Yes, others have walked out on you, but God and Associates were there to make sure you didn't drown in self-pity. Yes, you've been lied on, but God and Associates were there to make sure you didn't lose your natural mind. Yes, you've been protected because you are a client of God and Associates. God sent me by to let you know, my brothers and my sisters, that he's got you covered. When you think about all that he's protected you from, when you think about the ways he's shown up in your life, you'll have to say, had it not been for God on my side, I don't know where I would be. Tears will run down our eyes when we sing, God has made a way for me. We will begin to say, never would have made it. You will say, I'm stronger I'm wiser, I'm better. Yes, you've been hurt in life, but all along the way, God was there keeping you. God was there protecting you. God was there shielding you. Why? Because you are a client of God and associates, and he's got you covered. Joseph was a client of God and associates, and God had him covered. But the question has to be asked. If this brother is a client of God and associates, and if God, who is all powerful, God who sits high and looks low, God who can intervene, if he's got God covering him, Pastor, I have a difficulty with understanding why all the hurt. If God's protecting him, if God is protecting me, why then does God allow us to experience the pain that we experience in life? Great question. Verse 20 says this: you meant to hurt me, but God meant it for my good. In Joseph's story, brothers and sisters, we learn, first of all, that we will be hurt by others. We learn that God is the one protecting us. But we also see this. We can praise God for the purpose. Praise God for the purpose. You see, there was a famine in the land that could have caused a lot of people to die. And had Joseph not been hated by his brothers, he would have never been sold for 20 pieces of silver. And had he never been sold for 20 pieces of silver, he would have never ended up in Potiphar's house. And had he never ended up in Potiphar's house, Miss Potiphar would have never lied on him. And had she never lied on him, he would have never ended up in prison. And he never ended up in prison, he would have never ended up in the palace interpreting dreams, which save more people. Was he not forgotten about? Was he not looked over by his friends? He would have never ended up where God wanted him to go. And when you think about your own life, you can say like Joseph, I was hurt, but God. I was lied on, but God. I've been talked about, but God. I've been misused, but God. I've had to cry many nights, but God. Yes, some of my friends have left me, but God. Yes, I've had bad relationships, but God, all along the way, God had a purpose and a plan for my life. It hurt me, but it was for my good. I'm better now. My faith is stronger now. My life is better off now. Somebody ought to praise God, because you see now that he has purpose for the struggle. Many of us have heard the story about the butterfly. The butterfly starts off in a cocoon. And as the butterfly is in the cocoon, you can see the butterfly struggling to get out of the cocoon. There's a story, this little boy, he had this caterpillar at first, and he watched it, kept giving it leaves and things like that. And eventually the caterpillar began to make a cocoon for itself. He saw it, he wondered what was going to happen. He kept watching this cocoon until one day he saw the butterfly stretching to come out of the cocoon. Boy saw it struggling because he'd really been given this caterpillar at first some leaves and things. The boy wanted to help it. And so the boy began to peel back some of the cocoon. He could see the pretty wings for the butterfly. He really wanted to help it get out so it wouldn't struggle so much, so it wouldn't go through so much pain. So he began to pull back layers of the cocoon. And then the butterfly came out, and it looked beautiful. It looked good. It was so colorful. But it had a problem. Couldn't fly. It couldn't fly because while the boy tried to help him avoid the struggles of his life, he was actually crippling him because his wings never became strong enough to fly. Sometimes God allows us to experience difficult people in our lives to strengthen our wings so that we can fly. Had some people never walked out of your life, you would have still been depending on them. But God would say, I will let you
go through that pain so that you can know that I'm with you and I'll never leave you nor forsake. Had some people never talked about you, you wouldn't know how much God had put in you. And you could begin to look at yourself and say, I know I look good. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God allows us to go through some experiences because he's strengthening us for the purpose he has for our life.
There's one more story, much like Joseph's story. Like Joseph was loved by his father, God sent his son Jesus, whom he loved. Like Joseph had a coat of many colors, God sent wise men with spices and oils for his son. Like Joseph was hated, Pharisees and Sadducees hated Jesus. Like Joseph's brothers plotted to kill him, the Pharisees and Sadducees plotted to kill your Lord and my Savior. Like Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver, Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Like Joseph was thrown into jail unjustly, Jesus was tried in an unjust court. They took his robe just like Joseph's brothers took his robe. But Jesus went a little further. They gave him an old tattered robe. Then they put a crown on his head. Spikes was like railroad spikes, and the blood began to run down. This is Jesus who has been hurt by others. They whipped him